The stories of what God does is amazing. If I didn't have to speak this morning and we heard what Jean and Damien said, I think that is enough. We get the message that God works in people's lives, that God is interested in our lives, that God is not removed from the things that we go through, the normal struggles that we face, whether it be in their instance, they're wanting to get a child, they got one. If it's finances, if it's relationship problems, God is always there for us and will help us, will help guide us along the way. The key thing about that story, there's a few things, is the ability to know when it is God speaking and to know that, you know what, I've been told to wait. And the ability to then not just listen, but to obey. Thank goodness for her mother that had the courage to say, you know what, I've just been sensing that you should wait. This is what community does. When you're in community with people, where sometimes you don't have all the answers, but other people that are within the community with you also hear from the Lord and will encourage you. This is why church is important. This is why the family of God is important, where we are there to support one another, to lift each other up. Because guess what happens when you are down? Somebody is up. So that helps you equalize yourself, and then you'll be at equilibrium. Now, the scripture says that two are better than one. Why? Because if one falls into the ditch, the other can lift him up. And then he says, woe to the person that is by himself. That means that being by yourself and isolating yourself will mean that you may get through stuff, but you'll get through it eventually. Whereas if you've got somebody that is there to help you, immediately you get the assistance that you need. Amen? So we started this about the one, which is our theme for 2023. And that is essentially coming from when Jesus left the 99. And he was giving a story about the Pharisees that said, why do you mess around with sinners and not just sit with them, but why do you eat with these bad people? And then he gave them this story about a shepherd, that would leave his 99, leave the 99 sheep to go for the one that is lost. What he was saying to them is that the most important thing is somebody that is out there on the fold who is not yet brought into my kingdom. And he's telling the Pharisees that you have to change your attitudes when you look at people that don't follow God, where we don't call them heathens and all those weird kind of names, but we recognize that this is why Christ came, so that people could get to know him. Then we spoke about the lady with her coin. She lost the coin, she searched her whole house, and she found it. People are important to the Lord. And if they're important to the Lord, then it becomes our mission that those are the people that we will be after as well. One thing I like about God is that each and every one of us has been given a world, a circle of friends, a circle of influence that we can impact with the kingdom of God. And that is what About the One is about bringing that one person that does not yet know the Lord into his kingdom. And so it's being intentional in reaching people and getting them into God's family. It's about us having an urgency for souls like never before. And you know, every year we know our souls are important. We don't want people to, you know, we don't want people to die and go to hell. But guess what? This year, people are really important. If there's any time where we recognize that people are important, where we have an urgency, is now. Because death, my brothers and sisters, comes like a thief in the night when you least expect it. And once you're gone, you're absolutely gone. Last week I had the terrible task of having to prune some trees. I don't like gardening, you know, and so I had to do it. So it was, you know, one of those things you have to do, and I did it. And so I put the, you know, the shrubs, I put them, cut them off, da da da, and I put them on the ground. And I thought, oh, you know, eventually I'll get to cut them up and then throw them in the bin. And so, but that was on Sunday last week. Now those leaves are dry. And so now all I have to do is to shake the shrub and just shake the leaves off and then blow them out onto the road. Have you seen people do that with the, you know? It hit me this morning as I was driving out that, wow, when you are not attached to the tree, you die. There is no life, there is no existence. And we know that once somebody hits the dirt, that's it. There ain't no coming back from that. This is why the rich man cried out to Father Abraham and said, Father, can I come over there? Can you give me some water? And the guy said, nope, sorry, can't do it. Then he says, could you please send somebody? I've got 5 brothers. Can you go and warn them? And he says, nah, we're not sending anybody. They've already got the word with them. This tells me the importance about the one person that does not know the Lord, how important it is to him. And I, even though I carry on, there is a seriousness within me and a great urgency that we need to have for people, for us to love people, love them enough that we are going to step outside of our comfort zone. And if it's hard to sort of like talk to somebody, you can just invite them to church. But people are important to the Lord, and they need to be important to us, because that is what matters. Because eternity is a very long time to be separated from the Lord. So about the one is looking at a plentiful harvest and praying to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. And not just to send workers, but to send me. Don't just send somebody. You're going to make a prayer. Lord, just send Avina. Just send Charlie and Ben. No. Send me. I want to go. I don't know what it's going to look like. It might get a bit scary. But guess what, Lord? I'm willing to put myself out there so that we can reach more people for you. You know, that empty seat next to you represents a changed life and a destiny, because Jesus is the spell breaker. I said last week, did I say last week about my family? You know, my father's great guys. They came from a, you know, our lot was, we had multiple wives. That was our lot. Eh? So perhaps I was going down that direction. Except one day, a group of friends, some of them were female, said, you are just going to be like your fathers. That cut me deep. That cut me real deep. And I said, nah. And I made the choice that day to say, nope, I'm not going to be like that. And praise the Lord, thus far, it's just the one wife. Yeah. Yeah, poor men who've got many kids and wives, sorry. The deal here is that we want to be gripped with the love for Jesus that compels us to reach out to others. I spoke last week of my friend who had some personal hygiene issues, and I could not tell him that, dude, you have some personal hygiene issues. My love was not strong enough to let him know, because each time I had the intentions were there, but each time I tried to get the words to roll out of my mouth, all I could do was laugh. You don't want to be that kind of friend. You want to be a friend that if something is not right with them, you approach them, because they know that the words may sting, but they know that there is love behind those words. And so many years ago, we're talking now, possibly 10 years ago now, Tourism Australia ran an ad. And so they said, they had a lovely girl there, and she says, oh, where the bloody hell are you? And so obviously people were not coming to Australia, so they were inviting them to say, you guys need to come. We need you to come to Australia. Now, our approach does not necessarily follow that of Tourism Australia and just go out there and say to people, you know, where the bloody hell are you? But we listen to what Jesus said. He says, we've been given this command where he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And we know what the scripture says. So he's telling us, don't just wait for people to come and just call out from the door and say, come, go. Go wherever they are and invite them to come in. And wherever they are, make disciples of them there. Make disciples of them there. This could mean that the there could be the supermarket, the there could be at the shop, the there could be at the school when you're dropping kids, when you're picking them up. It could be in the doctor's office. The there could be wherever the there is. That is where you make disciples of all nations. There is that command that don't wait for them to come. Go wherever they are. Go, because it's about us reaching out beyond the walls of our church to touch our community. We've said it many times, because we like numbers here. We're numbers people, that there's normally, we're here for 2 hours maximum every Sunday. 104 hours on most years, except this year, there's 106 hours. We'll be here for 106 hours, because there's 53 Sundays during the year. There's not a lot of time in church. So it's about us going out there, reaching outside the walls of our church up for that one person or two or maybe three, where they can have an encounter with the Lord and recognize that Jesus is a spell breaker, that Jesus would set people free, that no matter what the destinies for their lives have been from their past, that he can come, and when he intervenes, he changes people's lives around. Only Jesus can do that. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9, it says, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Now, this is Moses telling the people. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you'll have many children in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your hearts and on your gates. In Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees try to trap Jesus. Verse 34 says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now, the word must was used here, which means to be obliged to, something that should not be overlooked or missed. And so when you use the word must in a sentence, you're trying to indicate that you think it is very important or necessary for something to happen. This is why it says you must. It's not like, you should think about it. You must love the Lord your God. Jesus Christ died for us. And most importantly, he lived for us. And we know that he truly loved us. And so in return, How do we show our love for him and for our Heavenly Father who sent his Son to die for us and save us from death and sin? How do we show our love for God? I think that we are asked to live for him. We are asked to live for the Lord. So this commandment, when you think about it, is very impossible to obey. How do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength? It's a bit hard to do, because it means that you're going to love him with everything that you have, all your talents, all your passions, your time, and all your possessions. Ooh, that's a hard one. It's easy when you got 10 bucks in the account to love the Lord with all your strength. It's only $10. But for some, $10 is a lot. But when you got a few million, oh man, do I really love the Lord my God with all my strength? Because that bank account, that's part of your strength. This is why they say when you apply for a loan, what is your net asset position? What is your strength is what they're saying. But I like the fact that the Lord is trying to tell us that this, it's humanly impossible for all of us to love the Lord. But because God has put his spirit in us, that gives us the ability to do that. And it's always a wrestle for us to love the Lord all the time with everything that we have. And this is why Jesus reminded the Pharisees of their inability to keep the law of God, which is this commandment. And he was trying to get them to see their spiritual bankruptcy and their need for a savior. So he says, guys, I know this one is a bit difficult, this command, but guess what? It shows that you need a savior. And so the savior came and he put his spirit within us. That gives us the ability to love God to varying degrees. So it means we use all our time, energy, talents. We give time to learn what God's commandments say. What does he say? And so we have to sort of like read the scriptures so we know what he says. So imagine if I'm driving and I've been caught a few times over the speed limit, and imagine the cop stopped me and said, sir, you've been driving 40 kilometers above the speed limit. There's one time I was clocked at 137. but anyway. This was not in the inner city. This was on a highway. This was on a highway. And the problem is that, to be honest, it was my friend Elma who said to me, he said to me, when you're driving, before you get to a certain town, guess what you need to do? You can drive as fast as you want, but just before you get to that town, you can do what? Slow down. Now, before we got to the town, I met up with the cops. So anyway, so imagine they come up to me, because you know the cop car passes you, and you just see the lights flashing, that's all I saw. And so they come around, you can see them, come around, and all the kids, they're probably scared, oh, what's going to happen? And says, do you know you're going at 137? I said, nope, didn't know. Now imagine I said to the officer, I didn't know that the speed limit was 110. He would have just said to me, ignorance of the law is not a what? It's not an excuse. So I have to know the law in order for me to follow them. I need to take the time to understand God's commandments so that I can follow them. I got to use all my energies and all my talents. And not even just about that. I then have to use them to then encourage other people. What this scripture tells us, that there is a wholehearted commitment that is required. That when we treasure God's oneness and uniqueness, this needs to be personally applied to our lives. That scripture where it says, you shall write it on your doorposts, when you're talking to your kids, when you're going on the road, you need to remind people of them. This is telling us that this requires, it impacts our relationships with other people, with our family. It impacts what goes on in the home and in the workplace. And so this covenant love that we have or that we're called to must be a wholehearted, life-encompassing, community impacting, and an exclusive commitment to God. So what we're called to is wholehearted, life-encompassing, community-impacting, and an exclusive commitment to God. Every closet of our life needs to be open for cleaning, and every relationship in our lives must be influenced by God, by His Word. And when I say that every closet of our lives needs to be open for cleaning, means that we need to this comes and destroys the duplicity in our lives, which means the duplicity, when we say a wholehearted commitment, is I am not one person on stage, and then when I get off stage, I'm a totally different person. This exposes me when I open up my life to everything that God wants to do. It removes the duplicity to our lives, where we are one thing at church and we're a whole nother person at home, or then we are a whole nother person in our business. No, this requires a wholehearted commitment to the Lord. So next week, I guess, is our 19-year wedding anniversary, and 19 long years. And so we always wonder, why do people celebrate? Others have been married 40 years and everybody cheers and claps, because they know, man, you got through the fire. Imagine if I had probably the first few years, my wife thought, what did I get myself into? And I thought the same. We got to equalize this, you know? When the love, you know, the feelings of love have died down, then the reality of married life kicks in, thinking, oh, no. Should I have done it? It's too late now. I'm in here. But it requires a wholehearted commitment. You know, I say all this in jest, but it requires a wholehearted commitment, because if it's going to work, it's going to require everything of me. If we're going to be people, C3 Fremantle, people that are going to see others impacted, we are never going to do it if we're 50% in. We're going to do it if there is a wholehearted commitment to what God wants to work in your life and then through your life. And so everything about me should be declaring the Lord, my passions, my hungers, my perceptions, my thoughts, how I use my talents. The strength, like I said, is everything at my disposal. You know, like a country will say, everything at their disposal is their army, their navy, whatever else, we're going to come with everything that's within our power, everything at our disposal. This is what God wants from us, a wholehearted commitment. We cannot do what we're hoping to do and to achieve if we're not in the water. We're not going to be like some guys who go to the beach in a suit. No. We're going to have our bathers on and we're going to go into the water. It's a wholehearted commitment that the Lord requires from us. And as we said last week, that we're looking to have 30% retention rate of all our visitors that come to our church. Why? Is it because of the numbers? Yes. And yes, because it's about changed lives. It's about changed lives. It's about lives that are living. People are coming to church, they're finding their purpose for their lives. And they're so that God changes them and changes everything about their life, about their family life, where there was turmoil in their family home. All of a sudden, God has intervened and there's peace. This is what God wants for us. He wants to come so that, and just do things in us. This is why it's impossible to do this by ourselves. And it's impossible to do this when we are not fully committed. It's going to require all of us. It's going to require a wholehearted commitment. And so Jesus, when he repeated what was said in Deuteronomy, what Moses said, he echoed those words, but he added the part about loving others as well. Then he said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the second one. That's a good one. And then he says, he declared that on top of that, everything, all the law and the prophets hung or relied upon those two commands. Loving God and each other is our highest calling. That is our highest calling. Loving God and each other is our highest calling. Sometimes it's not easy to do, but we've been given the Holy Spirit that's working within us that enables us to keep moving forward. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is just simply a response for what God has done for us. For we love because he first loved us. And out of that, we therefore serve in the house of the Lord. Because of the response of what God has done, we therefore serve. Now, I can imagine if it was my home and I never served my wife, that would not be a good home. But there's a people do, you know, it's a reciprocal behavior. And it's because of what somebody has done for you, even though it may seem transactional, what it is that in response to what somebody has done, is to say, you know what? Thank you for ironing my shirt. Thank you for doing this and that. I'm just out of, because of what you've done, my response is to love. My response, and the only way I can show it, is by doing things. And so we serve as people of God. We believe that everybody who comes to our church should serve, which means you can serve on the welcome team, on the cafe for our hospitality. You can serve again on media and audiovisual and lighting. You can serve on the worship team. This year, you can serve at Port Care. You can volunteer your time to go and serve at Port Care on South Street. If you've got an hour or two to spare, go in and say, look, I've got an hour or two to spare once a month or once a quarter, and just see what that will do to you. That initially you might, it's going to shift things in your life when you put others first. Also, what you can do is Port Care community lunch that occurs here on Fridays. And I was here on Friday, was packed. And this was just the beginning, and there were many others that were not there. And what we're asking for this year is that if you've got the time on a Friday, just do it once a year. Just come, not so that you can clean the dishes or stuff like that, but just come and sit with the people and hear the stories of some of the things that people go through. You will come from that changed, from that experience. You would recognize how precious people are. And you might think, wow, man, people go through a lot in life. And that community that has been created there is what it's about, people that are going through trying circumstances, but they find family, they find relief when they come there. What was so interesting on Friday is that one of the people that come, his name is Sam, he comes to Port Care. It was his birthday. And the chef, Debbie? Dorothy, she made him a cake. You know, like that. And I remember afterwards when I left, I went back upstairs. But then I said, oh, you know, I need to go and just say happy birthday personally to Sam. So I came back down and I just went in and some guy says, oh, you're back again. But I was just there to say to Sam, happy birthday. That is the community that they've created. And there was a call that went out during there that we need somebody to help Dorothy with the cleaning, the washing the dishes. And you know who volunteered? It was Sam. Now, this was before he was told he had a birthday cake. That's just the genuineness that is there of people that are giving. Life happens outside of the church. Well, in the church, but outside of it. This is where we serve, each and every one of us doing something. Because we're not, yes, we're serving people, but we're serving God. The other thing we do is we attend Connect Group. Connect is important. We recognize she had to speak to her Connect Group and just say to them, look, this is what is going on in my life. And they were there to support and to pray with her, to support her, because no one is an island. We need one another. And so Connect Groups are vital to what we do. So we cannot love somebody that we don't know. So knowing him should be our priority. And so those who pursue God and his righteousness, who take seriously the command to love him above all else, are those consumed with the things of God. And the things of God, it's very easy to work out, what is God doing? Find out, if you see a place where God is moving, join in. That's what he's doing. Join in. Because we learn to care about what he cares about. His concerns become our concern. His mission becomes our mission. And so as we connect, we are eager to study God's word. We're eager to pray. And we're eager to share Jesus Christ with others. So I think, have those cards been giving out? All right, let's give out the cards. Thank you. And I'll just invite everybody to stand. You'll be getting some cards soon. Yeah, the cards are coming. And I forgot to say to you all, you know, one thing I wanted to say is that God loves you. Each and every one of you. Can I please have one? Thank you. So this year, it is about the one. And so we ask this question about who is your one person that you're going to reach out to, you're going to pray for, and then who you're going to invite to church. Who is the one person in your circle of friends who you know that the Lord is reaching out to? We've all got somebody. I wonder who your one is. This is the Lord's passion. This is the reason that he came, to seek and to save those that are lost. I wonder about the one. One person is significant. The lady prayed for Billy Graham, not recognizing what God was going to do with that man. One person can make a difference. The one conversation you will have can shift somebody significantly. You don't know the things that are going on in people's lives. And I wonder, who is your one person? And our encouragement to all of us this year is that if you grab your card, you look at it, ooh, you see there's all those people there in the crowd, or there is, but there's that guy there, the nameless one. But in your life, they're not nameless. You know somebody. There is one person. And what we're asking this year is that we pray, most importantly, Lord, who is the one person that I need to be reaching out to? And then you're going to ask him for some courage at the same time. Give me courage to step out, get out of my comfort zone. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to invite that person to church, where we will hear stories of what God has done in people's lives, that God is interested in people, that every person matters to the Lord. And so, who is your one? Don't take this and then just chuck it out. You know, it's not like, pretend it's one of those coffee things that they get and just each week you clip it. You know? And then when you bring your one to church, we'll give you another one. Look. This is the reason that the Lord Jesus came. and we want to keep the main thing the main thing. This year there's going to be opportunities that will be provided for the church. There will be 6 services this year where there'll be extended worship, a time to just let the Spirit of God just come into this place where we usher in the presence of God. And then once a quarter, once every 3 months, there will be a prayer service from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. So, okay, 9 p.m. to 11:59 p.m., which is a minute before midnight. Why? With man, it is impossible. And we're going to seek the face of the Lord this year like never before. And we're going to say, Lord, we need you to come. We're going to hold God to his word. Because he has said in his word that pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. Because he says the harvest is surely plentiful. Now, if he said it, then so we're going to come on a Friday night and we're going to hold him to his word. And we are going to see God work in us first, and then he's going to work through us. Because that's how he works. He just doesn't work through us. He works on our hearts, and then he works through us to other people. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, this morning, that, Lord God, it is about the one person that needs to know you, the one person in our world, Lord God, that you are drawing closer to yourself. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for that one person whose life will be radically transformed and changed because they have made a decision to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage to reach out to that one person. And Lord, even the courage to just invite them to church, where we know, Lord God, that as they come here, Father, they would encounter you. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for that one person in their lives that you are drawing, Lord God, that you would bring them into the house because you have said the harvest is plentiful. And so pray to the Lord of the harvest. And so we are praying to you this morning. Send workers. But most importantly, Lord, send me in Jesus' name.